For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Emily Elizabeth, and I'm the host of the What Fulfills You podcast, a show for and about individuals always seeking to be their best selves. On this show, we talk all about building the mindset, finding the right careers, creating meaningful relationships, and so much more. Welcome to the What Fulfills You podcast. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of What Fulfills You. My name is Emily Elizabeth. I'm your host. And for today's episode, we are focusing on all things oral health, which is actually a very interesting topic because you will learn that so much of our overall health does stem from oral health and how we take care of our teeth and our gums and flossing and all of that. And so if you are someone that is generally curious about just different ways you can improve your overall health, this episode is perfect for you. A little bit more about today's guest. Dr. Jonathan Levine is New York City based, and he's dedicated to expanding how oral health is perceived and who it serves. With over 35 years of experience as America's leading oral health expert, Dr. Levine's holistic approach focuses on the vital connection between oral health and systemic wellness. As a clinical researcher, inventor, and serial entrepreneur, Dr. Levine holds 27 patents in aesthetic, therapeutic, and medical device technologies. He founded Glow Science, the premier innovative at-home teeth whitening solutions, and advises numerous dentistry startups as they shape the future of the industry. Like I said, this episode was packed with so much information. You guys are going to love it. With that being said, let's welcome Dr. Levine to the podcast. Dr. Levine, thank you so much for joining me. I'm very excited to talk about oral health. I've never had someone come on to talk about oral health and everything that comes with that. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Of course.
Yeah.
I wanted to start actually with your background as an athlete. I know we talked a little bit about that beforehand, but I personally have always felt that when you have exposure to health or some health focus early on in your life, especially formative years, I think that can transpire into what you do in your career or the way you focus on that. Can you kind of dive into your life as a lacrosse player and how that might have contributed to your interest in health overall?
Yeah, for sure. It's interesting to kind of play it way back. college days, something very interesting happened. When I was at Cornell, I was an immunology and a microbiology major. I was into science. And I was playing lacrosse. And at that point, Cornell was one of the top teams. Won a national championship a couple of years earlier. And we had this amazing coach. I will say that the greatest learning was that if you want to do anything in life, you do it as a team, that life's a team sport. And that this coach was more than just a lacrosse coach. He really, Richie Moran, was more of a life coach. What does that mean? I mean, the guy would say, did you call your mom? He would know your brother and sister's name. 20 years later, he would know your siblings' names and your parents' name. And he just instilled certain values that were extraordinary. But the thing was that this team that I got to play on, and I was very fortunate, where we lost our sophomore years in the quarterfinals, semifinals, junior year, and then senior year, we set a goal and we set a vision. We said, we're not going to be denied. That was our fight song. We went undefeated. We met another undefeated team, Maryland, in the national championship game. Mm. My twin brother was on the other team.
At Maryland. Oh, wow.
And my mother was down on the field. Wild World of Sports is there. First time they're televising a game. Most people ever for a game at Providence, Rhode Island. And she's on the field. And I go running over to her. I go, Mom, get up in the stands. You're going to get killed. The balls are whizzing past her head.
Yeah.
She says, I'm so nervous. I go, what are you nervous about? She goes, I don't know what side of the field do I sit on. Do I sit on the Maryland or the Cornell side? Get up on the Cornell side. We will be winning this game. And yeah. It was a nail biter, double overtime. And we did emerge victorious, Cornell. But to get back to the health question, back then, you know, nutritional sciences and what we know today did not exist. And I talk about this all the time because I'm very focused on connecting the dots between oral health and dentistry and medicine as a way to get kind of better diagnostics for all of healthcare and get more upstream and get more wellness instead of a sickness model. Mm-hmm. In fact, nutritional sciences still are not taught in medical school. In greater than, I would say less than 50% of the medical school is teaching nutritional sciences, where they realize that nutrition is probably one of the most important things for overall health and longevity.
Yeah.
But having said that, as an athlete, could you drink? Could you do all these things that a lot of the undergrads doing? Not if you wanted to perform on the field.
Right.
So certain things about the kind of fitness regimen we had, double sessions of, you know, running early in the morning and running before practice and after practice and the kind of fitness you got into, you had to eat properly. It's just that we didn't know as much back then like we do today as far as really what could be healthy and all of these type of antioxidants and supplements we could be doing.
Yeah.
But I will say that my college years were very, for me, very formative because of the lacrosse and because of the team that I was able to play on and the experience that I had, because it really helped set me for my future.
Yeah. That senior year when you and your team set out the vision to, all right, we are going to win this year.
Yeah.
Number one, do you remember how that vision was implemented? What did you guys do differently that year versus the previous years? And how did you maybe take away from that year in lacrosse to the future in your life and career, business, family?
Yeah. You know, the look back was we had some different players when I was a senior. We had this sophomore class that gave us enough depth. Lacrosse, similar to soccer, we had like the middle of the field, the midfielders. We had this whole fresh crop, these great sophomores, which gave us the depth that we did need. Mm-hmm. We also had a coach that backed off a little bit because he realized he had a lot of talent on the field and he didn't need to micromanage us. So he changed his kind of style of how he let us develop and evolve. And for the seniors, a lot of times what happens is you go up from sophomore, junior, senior year, you get that senior leadership going. And we really had that, you know, as a team.
Mm-hmm.
But playing it forward, you know, after Cornell, I was at BU Goldman School of Dentistry, and then I started practicing. And I realized the sport of dentistry and healthcare, but especially dentistry, was very siloed. Mm-hmm. And not only siloed, very fragmented in that it was kind of a solo sport. Mm-hmm. One is dentist, one assistant, one hygienist, you know, most of the practices were built like that. And I was shaking my head. And literally from day one, can you imagine coming off of a sport where you're national champs, you became the best, you had these amazing teammates, and I go into this profession because I didn't think I liked business, number one. And I was so close to my grandparents when they passed away and I had the experiences in hospitals. I said, I am not going to practice and live my life in a hospital. So I went into a science that I thought would be very interesting. And I was doing art and some sculpture. And so I kind of thought, you know, dentistry is going to be really interesting. But I've always tried to reinvent it. Since I got in dentistry, for me, it was always like, we got to change it.
Mm.
And I always was building teams for whatever I did in dentistry.
Mm.
You know, and I'm going back into starting in the 80s.
Yeah.
In the 80s, I was very lucky. I met the technician who figured out how to etch porcelain and bond porcelain to teeth the inventor of it, the person who had a patent on it. I'm 26 years old, and I'm one of the first people in the country to do porcelain veneers. And this is in the early 80s.
Oh, wow.
10, 15 years before anybody. And that set me on a certain level of lecturing and focusing on aesthetics and aesthetics in dentistry. Mm. And really helped, you know, kind of drive my career at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At any point, did you second guess going into dentistry, or was that something you did have conviction about after college?
Yeah. You know, it was interesting because, you know, we all could do a number of things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's where you start is not where you end up, right? Mm-hmm. And it's such a journey. And, you know, we think about, and when I talk to, you know, young professionals, and I've been teaching dentistry for over 30 years. You know, the journey is a zigzag. Mm-hmm. It's the people you bring around yourself, the environment you put yourself into, mm-hmm. gets you ready for that next step, right?
Yeah.
And we are the company we keep, who we surround ourselves with, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, for me, I dedicated myself to it, but it was pretty interesting for me because it was a very nascent industry that mm-hmm. was ripe for disruption. Mm-hmm. And so I tended to do things that were very much different from what anybody else would do. I did follow some traditional paths mm-hmm. with teaching and education, but I kind of did it my way.
Yeah.
Started multiple companies. I've always built teams. I've invented, mm. you know, we have about 29 patents now on medical device delivery system.
Wow.
But the industry was very interesting for someone like me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've been able to, you know, I do, you know, I've done a bunch of different books. I've done a number of TV things where I was oral health person for Dr. Oz show, which
yeah.
I enjoy doing the public facing stuff. But we could do many things. But for me, it was once I committed to it.
Yeah.
I was going deep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when you were starting out, how long were you, let's say, in a more conventional route before you were pivoting and kind of doing the more unconventional yeah. things that are kind of more aligned to your nature?
So when I got out, I worked with a group and I brought this porcelain veneer technique. Mm-hmm. And I was outproducing all the older guys 20 years older than me. So they had to make me a partner. But it wasn't enough for me because that's kind of how my head works.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go back to school to become a specialist because in dentistry, even back then, if you really wanted to reach the top, you wanted to specialize. It was
okay.
just slower than medicine in that department. So you either become, you know, a periodontist, an orthodontist, a root canal specialist. And
right.
my specialty is prosthodontist.
Okay.
We're kind of like the architects of design for how things work together.
Uh-huh.
So we say aesthetics,
yeah.
structure, function, and biology.
Mm.
And so that's what we're trained at. And so we're like a super generalist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the general dentist does many things,
right?
But especially today, 25, 30 years later, it's very much a specialty discipline, just like medicine.
Okay.
You still have your GPs.
Yeah.
You need them,
mm-hmm.
but it's very much, if you want to kind of get to the top of the profession, you do specialize. So I did go back. After 5 years, I went back. My wife was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
I was called myself the 75-80 hour club. I was full-time in a program. I was working 3 nights a week and a Saturday.
Mm.
I was 167 pounds, and I was probably the happiest I've ever been. I was just, you know, working as hard as I could, incredibly motivated to learn,
mm-hmm.
To get to that next level. I felt that being a specialist would help me there. And, you know, I had this whole new discipline of porcelain veneers, this new technique. So that
yeah.
also kind of said to myself, all right, I got to be a specialist. I want to be a specialist. So I got that done. And then once I got out of the program at NYU, I was like, let's go. It's like the Ferrari out of the engine, out of the
yeah.
garage. Like, let's go, go, go.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I was about 30 years old at that point.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that you were working maybe 75, 80 hours
yeah.
and your wife was pregnant at the time.
Yeah.
At that point, and I'm sure things have shifted over the years too. How did you look at balance, so
yeah.
to speak, between, you know, you're about to start a family and you're also on the brink of this new trajectory in your own career. And of course, 30 years later, what it is now, how did you kind of manage all of that as the years went by? I think that is one of the most difficult things for most people, right? As I'm sure you've seen as well, which is excelling and being exceptional at, you know, work or something in your domain, and then also keeping that core partner, family, all of those things still at the top priority.
Yeah, it's exactly right. I couldn't agree with whatever the question and where you're going with it.
Yeah.
You know, decade by decade, things change.
Yeah.
You know, you're in your 30s. It's mm-hmm. the go-go years.
Mm-hmm.
And the pedal's to the metal.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of energy at 30 years age. And we're just going for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can be doing multiple things. But I will say, to be in your 30s today, we do know so much more. And the concept of rituals and high-performance habits and getting into those kind of morning rituals to set your day, you know, it wasn't even a thought back then. You know, I was, whatever I had to do, if I had to get up, you know, at 6:30 and make a lit review class and then get in the clinic and then finish by 5 and get to the office because I had to support the family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had a certain lifestyle. I was out four or 5 years before I went to the program to my postgraduate work. But, you know, didn't think too hard about it. Just it was go, go, go.
Uh-huh.
And what I would say is as you go from your 30s to your 40s, you're raising a family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the focus is your family.
Mm.
But the question of the balancing act, I think, is so important. And it's I think, way beyond the concept of you know, work-life balance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really for people to learn what brings the joy. You know, what brings the happiness for yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And having that special person in your life to share your life with is pretty spectacular. But there's things you have to know to have this level of success.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not about me, it's about us.
Mm-hmm.
And if people have, you know, a bit of that mindset to kind of be that servant leader, how do I make everyone around me the best they can be?
Mm.
And if the husband and wife feel that way, and with the children, you're, you know, you're like a tight unit and you're spending your time with your kids, you're not handing that off to anybody.
Yeah.
You know, and if it's a priority for you, I really think that the children grow up in this environment of a lot of love and a lot of caring.
Mm.
You think about it, you sit around the dinner table when we were young and you're hearing your parents talking and you're hearing your dad talk. It has huge impact.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that's why I thought I didn't like business, because my father was in one of the oldest businesses in the country called the fur business.
Wow.
Old time Jewish furrier. And it was a crazy industry back in the day because everybody owed each other money. Nothing was organized.
Mm.
You know, it's it was, I said to myself, that must be what all business is like. So there I am at Cornell. I could have done a lot of business courses, but I was taking all science courses. And in fact, on my look back, when I started some companies and I started really learning from, you know, the business people I was able to surround myself with, we started a program at Cornell, a major minor program where the science majors could take a minor in business. The undergraduate business school, Cornell Dyson School, is one of the top ones in the country.
Yeah.
And it became so so successful, the university took it over.
Yeah.
But it was a good idea. So the science people really have to understand business concepts.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, whether you're in a hospital system, whether you're working for, you know, a P&G or a Merck, and, you know, you have to really know, you have to know your business side of the equation. All people who are going to professions and professionals, there's a tremendous entrepreneurial side of that, which is the creative side of everything we do.
Yeah.
How do we do things better? How do we do things differently? So anyway, you know, I became clearer along the way of how important business is. And I started embracing it as soon as I started practicing and I got out of my program. I started, actually, we codified it with about 8 of us. And we were taking, with a consultant, learning organizational theory and business concepts, which really opened my eyes because I started reading books about organizational theory, which I never read before.
Yeah.
And I loved it because it was just like sports. Business is sports, right? You're building high-performance teams.
Yeah.
How do we inspire the people on our teams? How do you build a culture? All these things that we learn when we build a company and the mistakes we make along the way and then take corrective action because you realize that people need to get filled up. People need to be inspired. People need to feel challenged, but challenged in a way of accountability, but filling them up, you know, and making them the best they can be. So you learn those things and you either do it early, you know, by your education or MBA programs or you do it all the way on the way up.
Yeah. How did you understand or, let's say, like, shape the team in your businesses, and also learn that or translate that into your family as well? How did they kind of correlate with one another in that way?
Yeah.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
I think, you know, look, I've become a student of leadership. And in fact, in my profession, I was always teaching about aesthetics and structure, function, and biology. I've written a book on it. Today, I talked to the young dentist about personal growth, personal mastery, leadership, building culture, building team, organizational theories.
Yeah.
Because it's so important for the young professionals to learn these things. And in my world, nobody talks about it, really.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've been able to do a whole bunch of things, starting companies, inventing products, but always having my clinical practice. So what I learned by my mistakes and by hanging out and surrounding myself with really smart business people, you know, is that with your teams and you're building something, the most important thing to build is the people side of the equation. On the people side of the equation, it's your leadership style. So are you going to command people to do things like it's like the armed services where it's life and death, and so it's command and control? Or as Steve Covey would say, you need to build a trust and inspire type of culture. And how do you do that? And there's all these tools that people can learn that become students of leadership. John Maxwell, 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. And then the personal growth, because you can't lead unless you grow yourself, right? We don't. These are things that are hard to learn. So you have to take the time for you, for all of us to grow. And then you get into reading Robin Sharma, 5 a.m. Club, or Brandon Bouchard, High Performance Habits, you know, and these type of books, or Jim Collins, Good to Great, right? Get the right people on the bus in the right seat. And get the wrong people off the bus who don't align on the things that you hold dear for the company you're starting. You know, companies, they always say, you got to set the vision for your people. Where do you want to go? You want to... People need to figure out their why, right? Simon Sinek talks about this all the time, right? Why do we do, why are you doing what you do? You know, vision, purpose, values. The most important thing is the alignment of your value system. What do you hold dear, you know? What we do at my JBL, our practice is called JBL, New York City, JBL. We made an acronym out of it. We said J, core values. I don't like talking about things too much. You get an idea, go with it. So thank you, Nike. Just do it. J. B, bring the joy. You got to bring the happiness in. So anybody that comes to our practice, they know that I got an extraordinary group of people. I have 27 people. By the way, 21 are internationals.
Wow.
And I've had a core group with me that have been together with me 25 years.
That's amazing.
And L is a nod to my foundation partner, Lenny Kravitz, let love rule, which mm-hmm. means bring the love. Mm. The love for your patients, the love for your team. Equal amount of love.
Yeah.
You got to have both because you can't serve your clients or your patients unless you really serve your team, right?
Yeah. Mm.
And, you know, Matt Goudera wrote a fantastic book recently, Unreasonable Hospitality, from 11 Madison. I'll give Cornell a plug. He went to Cornell Hotel School. But it's a fantastic book for anyone in the industry to really understand how you want to treat your people. He's done a masterful job of explaining that and explaining how that translates also to the people you serve. Mm. So your leadership style is so important. Back to your original question, to your business, but to your family.
Yeah.
You're going to command your kids to do something, or you're going to explain things in a way that they feel inspired, they feel supported, and they understand that if they make a mistake, that's okay. At least you tested the waters. At least you tried something. At least you stretched, because everything is possible, right? Yeah. You know, the kids who grew up in an environment or they learned along the way through a coach and a teacher that everything is possible and you got to go for it and that failure it means you're taking risk. What does Wayne Gretzky say? Wayne Gretzky, the great hockey player, would say, I miss every shot I don't take. Means take your shot. Go for it. And, you know, that we used to say that on the lacrosse field. You know, don't measure it. We used to say, don't measure it. Don't wait.
Yeah.
Really, you know, we say waffle it, which means let it go. Don't hesitate.
Oh,
and wow. I think that translates, these principles translate both to business, because you're building relationship, and to your family. And, you know, that prioritization of the people around you to build a family, to really support each other. You know, we all have our moments. And then we forgive each other. But the truth of the matter is that, you know, if you have a tight unit and there's a group, you know, you have a strong marriage, you know the rule about marriage, right? You never go to sleep upset with each other. You know that rule.
I
was told to me when I first got married by a wonderful person that I knew, Max. And I said, oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Of course, I think I violated it a few times, but we do remember, Stacey and I, my wife and I, remember it well.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. I mean, wow, you just shared so much wisdom there. And originally I wanted to talk about like family and life and all that a little bit later. But as you brought up like marriage and partnership, and as you mentioned earlier, you've been married for a long time. What would you say is the foundation of how that's lasted? And like you said earlier, unit as well, right? Keeping a close unit in business, but also within the family.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I personally, I'm a family person, and I think that's one of the best rewards of life, right? Of all the success and accolades we can have, it's being able to have that core unit at the end of the day with you.
Yeah, you're right. Well, Jim Collins talks about who luck he calls it. The right person you bring on to be your executive assistant, your CEO of your company, your business partner. Your life partner, biggest decision we make in our life. So I got lucky.
Yeah.
I have an amazing, amazing wife. She's loyal to the day is long. She's tenacious for the family. And she was the, I think that her personality is the kind of person you build a life together. Because you're always going to hit headwinds. We say in our family, it's not the problems that we face, but it's how we face our problems, how we deal with challenges. It's not the OMG, oh my God, what am I going to do? It's let's sit back and let's think about how do we solve for this, because there's always going to be problems and we got to be there for each other. So Stace is the glue of the family. And, you know, the family unit for both of us was the most important thing. And so, you know, we have big focus on our children, but also a focus on our relationship.
Yeah.
You know, we used to take the boys away, we were fortunate wherever, you know, go on trips, but as a family unit. And, you know, it's funny because their friends that are way into their 30s, they actually, I think, like hanging out with us. I think.
And I
we
could
do,
imagine.
We do
yeah.
spend a lot of time together.
Yeah.
And it's I feel like the luckiest man in the room, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. And they know how important that marriage decision. Julian, my oldest son, just got married to Christina, and mm-hmm. she's built very similar to Stacy.
Yeah.
Amazing, amazing human being.
Yeah.
Who understands that it's not about me, mm-hmm. it's about us. It's yeah. about the family.
Yeah.
And we realized it the minute she walked in, and there was a COVID relationship. Mm-hmm. And she lit up the house, even though we're in the middle of COVID, with her energy and her happiness and, you know, and just blending so beautifully into the family. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's a little bit of this who luck, but really I think young people have to spend the time with their person they're considering.
Yeah.
To understand, yeah, it's a big decision. But that there has to be this alignment of your value system, right?
Yeah.
They could be doing occupationally something completely different from a different state, different country, doesn't matter, different religion.
Yeah.
But there's an alignment of your values, that you what you hold dear, they hold dear.
Mm.
Because then you have bedrock, you have really strong foundation to build a future together.
Yeah.
That's my learn.
Do you think that's something you knew at the age of 30? Or is that something that evolved more with time?
No, I got lucky.
You got lucky.
I would say I got lucky meeting Stacy at a young age. Mm, mm-hmm. I just got out of Cornell. I was on my way to Boston. And we actually got reintroduced and we went to camp together.
Mm.
She kind of didn't really remember each other. In fact, she was calling me Steve the whole night. But finally, she got my name right, and she's absolutely staggering. You know, beautiful gal, and just this, you know, big, beautiful smile. And then we started dating, and I knew I was in trouble very, very early on. But I think it's probably the last thing I wanted to do was get married so young for me.
Right.
But I've met the right person. So I resisted for a second, but, you know.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, she was absent, and I wasn't happy, and I knew that, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
You know, they always say your first marriage is your parents' marriage.
Mm.
My parents' marriage, they stuck together, but there was a lot of, like, discourse.
Right.
You know, there really was. And so for me, it was like marriage, you know, it doesn't seem like a happy zone.
Uh-huh.
That's what I came into the relationship with. But, you know, Stacy was strong.
Yeah.
And she showed me the way.
That's amazing. Yeah. Wow. And kudos to you, right? It's something I, as I mentioned earlier, I always love to touch on relationships because I find it the foundation of our fulfillment and our happiness, and also eventually the foundation of just the person that we share life with, right? And so that selection, I believe, is important. But also, I've always been personally curious when I ask people, especially if they've, you know, been with their partner for a while, is whether they knew early on. And it sounds like you kind of alluded to that.
See, it was this bad. I'm sitting at a place everybody hung out post-college and college in the summers, Atlantic Beach, which is South Shore of Long Island.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm with someone.
Mm-hmm.
She was with a guy, but she walks in front of me. I look up. And I'm like following her, and I knew I was in trouble right then and there. And when I say trouble, I mean this somebody I got to get to know.
Totally.
Yeah, and I think there's something there. There's chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that we were actually in the same play together.
Mm.
Yeah, we were in Guys and Dolls together. She was a hotbox girl, but I kind of remembered her.
Yeah.
You know, it was a long time before.
Yeah.
But yeah, I you hear it so much, you know, soulmate, mm-hmm. and this is the one. But I would underline so many times when it comes to making these big decisions, I think the most important thing that you spend time with is alignment. You know, my younger son, Cody, has a new girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he's in trouble with her. Mm-hmm. He's had multiple girlfriends before.
Mm-hmm.
But he could be on the phone with her for 4 or 5 hours at a time. I know he's in trouble because I remember doing that myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just so much in common and so much they want to talk about, and there's so much enthusiasm. So, you know, I think when you meet the right person, you know.
Right.
Yeah, you do.
Let's dive into oral health.
Okay, let's switch gears. That's what we came here to talk about.
Gears into oral health.
Okay.
There's so many questions around it. I am someone that is a holistic health-oriented person. A lot of my listeners are also very health conscious. And I think oral health is one of those that are maybe less talked about, less frequently, you know, commonly known. I'd be curious to know, and I'm sure my listeners are as well, around the link between oral care and some of the frequent chronic conditions that a lot of, especially Americans, are coming across today.
Yeah. Amazing. So let's start it off this way.
Yeah.
The same rules apply whether it's your gut, whether it's your heart, whether it's your brain, whether it's your mouth. We live in an ecosystem.
Yeah.
The people who understand this in healthcare the best are the integrative functional medicine people.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, because medicine doesn't really know anything about dentistry, nutritional sciences medicine really doesn't know that much. There's a connectivity and a discipline in medicine and dentistry called oral systemic health. What is that? That's the connection of the mouth and the body. So what happens when the mouth is diseased or dysbiosis, where the microbiome of the mouth, just like the microbiome of the gut, is out of balance? So we have a balancing act of good versus bad bacteria. Everybody hears about it in the gut. People know today about the gut-brain axis, that straight line. There's something called the vagus nerve, you know. It's a, I'm doing a gut check, right?
Yeah.
Right, yeah. And because you got that direct line, well, guess what? Everything else is connected too. So microbiome in the gut, we have a microbiome of the mouth. We actually have seven microbiomes of the mouth. If you go into the cheeks, the palatal area. And these microbiomes is all about the good versus bad bacteria. When the bad bacteria outnumber the good bacteria, we call it dysbiosis, like disease dysbiosis, from the opposite of symbiosis, symbiotic relationship. Good thing to know. The more diversified our microbiome is, whatever microbiome of the body, the healthier it is. So when one species of bacteria and the bad ones, we call them pathogens, take over the good ones, what happens? We either, in the mouth, you either have decay or you have inflammation. Chronic inflammation, known as periodontal disease, guess what happens with these seven pathogens that work its way into the superhighway of the body called the circulatory system, the blood supply, meaning the arteries. When you have chronic inflammation, the endotoxins, the bacterial byproducts, works its way into every organ of the human body. And that is why, starting 22 years ago with the INVEST studies from Columbia of Moise Devereaux's group that connected, found the pathogenic bacteria of the mouth from periodontal disease, it's called P. gingivalis, was found in the carotid artery of cardiovascular patients. What is that bug doing in your carotid artery? It's supposed to be in the mouth. Guess what? Take it from the top. Pancreas of pancreatic cancer. Interstitial cells, which is the lining of the gut for a leaky gut. Amyloid plaque for cognitive function, Alzheimer's patients. Rheumatoid arthritis. You have periodontal disease, you're four times more likely to have rheumatoid arthritis. You have periodontal disease, you're two and a half times more likely, men, to have erectile dysfunction. Because the body reacts to inflammation. Think about COVID. What happened when people had periodontal disease? Four and a half times more likely to end up on a ventilator.
Oh, wow.
We heard all about cytokine storm. Cardiovascular disease means your arteries are on fire. The endothelial, the inner lining, is inflamed. When it's inflamed, what happens? You can't get great blood supply. You can get obstructions in the area because there are nicks. And then, you know, this is when LDL and HDL are working and there's an atheroma. And sometimes you have plaque that's hard or soft. It's the soft plaque and a variety of the soft plaque that breaks away and works its way into one of our vessels and occludes it. Then you get a stroke. So, number one killer in America is cardiovascular disease. There's a direct link with periodontal disease as a risk factor for cardiovascular disease and 55 other systemic inflammatory diseases. That means every disease of the body, whether it's a cancer, whether it's, you know, you have a foreign invader, you have a virus or bacteria, you have cognitive function problems, whether it's Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, It's all inflammatory. So why is the mouth disconnected to the body? Because of political reasons, you have to go back to the first medical school and the first dental school. They don't talk to each other. So I, as passionate I am as I was as a lacrosse player, I'm very passionate about the profession because they need people who are a little crazy like me. That's going to wave the flag, understand the science and the research, and get the word out to people that oral health leads to overall health. That if you're not healthy in your mouth, and I'll tell you a perfect example. We have a foundation called the Glow Good Foundation. So Stacy and I, my wife and I, we started a company, Go Smile. We sold in 2008, and about a year and a half, 2 years later, we started a company called Glow Science. We started Glow Science. We started a foundation called the Glow Good Foundation. First mission was in Rwanda, in Kigali. We went with our friends from Starbucks. We partnered with the Rwanda Foundation, which raised money for the children born out of the genocide. We remember that terrible genocide in Rwanda. 900,000 people got killed in 90 days by their neighbors. And the children that were born from the rape, they looked like the other tribe. They were outcasts. Foundation Rwanda raised money so the kids could go from junior high, because their education stopped, all the way to high school. And it was very successful. We went with them, and then we did a mission. Came back on the mission, and the singer, who is a patient of mine, corners me up on the second floor. He goes, "Doc, you got to help my people." This singer, Lenny Kravitz, looks at me, and I look at him, and I go, "Lenny, you're half Jewish and you're half Bahamian. Where do you want me to go?" He says, "My mom was from Nassau. I live in Eleuthera. These people walk around in terrible pain. They can die from a bee sting. There's no access to care. There's no dentist. There's no doctors. You got to come down." Lenny Kravitz invites me to his place on the island. I go with Stacy. We're driving around. He's stopping people on the street. I got a headlight and I got my loops. I'm looking, and it's a disaster. Wow. Why is it a disaster? No farm to table, no farming, all modern diet. You know what modern diet is? Ultra high fructose, corn syrup, ultra high processed foods, all the things that Casey Means talks about. God bless her, and can't wait that if she gets into some impact in this government to straighten out a lot of things that are wrong here, where we have these unfortunate, these huge food companies sending the wrong messages. These sugary breakfasts, there's nothing good in them. Sugary drinks, there's nothing good in them. So what applies, remember what I said, what applies to the body applies to the mouth. Sugary drinks is a disaster for the mouth for obvious reasons, because the kids can get a tremendous amount of decay. But it also has a huge effect on the amount of acid that gets into our body from these metabolic processes. So the two things, of course, alcohol and sugar, will destroy you, the human body. And you talk to the nutritional science people, and they can show you, you know, the pathway. It's one of the most important things for anti-aging and longevity. But to cut to the chase, in our foundation, we came with medical and dentists, and we worked together. And we came into a community where public health teams from Harvard, BU, and NYU, I was able to bring them in. They went into the schools, and they changed the whole trajectory of these kids, that they didn't end up like their parents. The parents, we came in, it was all extractions, making dentures. We use a lot of technology today. This is 10 years later. Because we did start on the lawn chairs of Lenny's backyard. And then we, with the help of Henry Schein Cares, amazing company, an amazing foundation, they outfitted a whole 14-chair freestanding clinic, free for the people, that Lenny Kravitz, Let Love Rule, and our Glow Good Foundation are partners. And so, but what I learned was what happens when dentistry and medicine works together. And what we realized is that we can get people healthier, but you got to have both. You can't just do treat hypertension and diabetes, because it has an impact in the mouth. In the mouth, you can't just treat decay, because if you're not functioning properly, you're not eating. If you're not eating, you're not breaking down food, and you're not getting your nutritional you know, elements that you need for health. So medicine and dentistry have to work closely together and have to communicate. And what happened was, from that learning, so I got my third book coming out called Oral, with an exclamation point, but all about the connection of the mouth and the body. And we're building a new clinic downtown called Smile House that we're all excited about. I'm most excited because my two sons are joining me. My My daughter-in-law, Christina, is joining me. My wife is joining me on it. Everybody's got different skill sets in the family. So it's really great. There's really no overlap. And we've built a nice team, and I have 27 people uptown. And we're now going to be in two locations.
Yeah.
But this focus is very much about a multi-specialty approach of dentistry, what I have uptown, all the specialists, plus the connection of dentistry and medicine. We call it DMI, dental medical integration. And we really want, I really want to see how do we take this new technology, because there's a lot. Sleep diagnostics, salivary diagnostics, really understand all this microbiome testing, because there's all these new companies that are developing these saliva tests. Saliva is like the new blood diagnostics. You talk about all these things you can find out now so that people could get upstream and get ahead of the disease and get preventable before it costs this healthcare system and people's lives downstream when it becomes more of a sickness model.
Right.
So the foundation, which just was incredibly ironic, showed me personally what can happen when dentistry and medicine connect in a healthcare system and a setting altogether.
Yeah. Wow.
Right?
I mean, that's incredible. And I actually did see, what's it called? Smile House, right?
Smile House.
Yeah, I saw that and kind of did a little bit of, you know, some stalking, if you will. But I, number one, I personally, when I saw that, I was like, oh, wow, like this is something I personally would be interested in. It's right in my backyard as well. But I'm curious, what is, number one, what was, I guess, the inspiration to start that now? And number two, how are you merging those two to actually become a practice? How are people going to have a different experience there compared to their normal dentistry? Because I do think that dentistry is also one of those, I think those annual or twice a year type of appointments that people kind of never think outside the box for. And as you are disrupting an industry, right, and bringing something very new, much needed and different, a lot of people can be confused at first as to how this actually is jumping ahead and is upstream, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
At Ritual, we know what goes into the holiday season. The potluck planning, the gift giving, the spreadsheets. So this new year, take a moment for yourself with science-backed support that puts you first. So whether you're focusing on supporting foundational health with a clean vegan multivitamin or supporting your gut health with Symbiotic Plus, do it with 30% off your first month at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Such a great question. You know, I think that's the idea, is how do we reimagine the delivery of care in a way that we have greater patient outcomes? So if we look at healthcare and you look at the functional medicine people, you look at Mark Hyman and Peter Attia and Victor Luongo and Alexander Younger, who wrote a great book called Clean, and all the, and Casey Means. When you look at these folks and you see what they're doing and how they're driving healthcare to a better place, I look at my profession, dentistry, needs to do the same thing. So there's a word, integrative, and we believe deeply in this integrative approach. So we stick to our knitting, which is 35 years uptown at 923 Fifth at our JBL practice, where I have multiple specialists, two orthodontists, two periodontists, three prosthodontists, three ceramists. People might not know what all these specialties are. But imagine if someone comes in and they have a bunch of issues, we collect all this data, CAT scan for your jaws now in dentistry. It's going to be standard of care, I would say, in about 10 years. About 1 or 2% of the practices in the country have them. They're called CBCTs. They're computerized tomography, but it tells you everything from the top of the nose to the airway. So we can diagnose sleep, because a lot of times sleep comes from obstruction of that upper airway. Obstructive sleep apnea is majority of people who do have sleep issues. And as we age, there's these palatal tissues that kind of sink down because gravity takes over and the airway gets close, tighter. Also, if you gain weight around your neck, that's another area that causes obstruction. If your nose is blocked, another area of obstruction, you start breathing through your mouth, which our mouth is not designed for breathing. So without going too much into sleep, because I could talk about that endlessly, you know, we look at what we've done uptown, sleep, salivary diagnostics. Do you know we can look at your saliva today, an amazing company called Oral Genome that I'm working with, where it looks at four elements of inflammatory markers that gives us an idea of, is your arteries on fire? Mm-hmm. Do you have a start of cardiovascular disease? Mm. Are you pre-diabetic? Looks at that. Do you have the bacteria that cause decay, and do you have the bacteria that cause inflammation in the mouth, periodontal disease? Yeah. Just in 20 minutes, point of care, take some saliva, and it's brilliant. Tina Saw started this company, Oral Geno. Bristol Health, another company that looks at the all, it's a what's called shotgun metagenomics, but basically 200 different bacteria, you get a whole report of all the bugs in your mouth, just like the gut.
Yeah.
Just like what Viome does for your gut for the consumer, this is what Bristol's doing for the mouth, but very detailed.
Wow.
So the dental offices today, and really with an eye towards the future, using technology, you could do things in the hygiene room, nothing different. Mm. But we look at it, and we have this new way of talking about it called mouth mapping. Mm. Now, I would never come up with the phrase mouth mapping. But my son, Cody, who's the marketer of the group, although Julian thinks he's a marketer too, but Cody, that's what he does, digital marketing.
Yeah.
Julian's very strong in strategy and ops finance, came up with this concept. And he's our branding creative, and he does lead a team with Christina's involved with that, and our good friend David. But, you know, this mouth mapping takes what we learned uptown. Remember I told you about aesthetics we look at? Well, there are things we do to figure out aesthetics. We do a lot of smile design now.
Mm.
Everything's digital. We scan the mouth. We get on the computer. We design your smile. You have a great smile. We've designed it to the face. Imagine you didn't like the smile. You had old dentistry done. It was discolored spacing. We can design a gorgeous smile. In fact, if you were 65 years old and your daughter had a beautiful smile, we can scan her mouth. We can do smile donator, and we can give you exactly her tooth form, tooth shape, tooth position, and mock that up and try it up into your mouth without doing any dentistry. How's that for digital workflow?
Wow.
And that's using the new scanners and new designers. So that's aesthetics. And then structure function biology are all these new tools, the CAT scan I was talking about, salivary diagnostics, that now lets us comprehensively diagnose, but very efficiently. These scanners take 12 seconds.
Mm.
There's now a new intraoral scanner called 3Disc that takes 9 seconds.
Wow.
And the other ones now take about 7-8 minutes. But so as the technology moves forward, and grows, that's what we're doing at Smile House. We're adopting new technology on the fundamentals of what people know. I'm coming to the dental office. We have the hygienist team, but we have a specialty team. Wow. And like grand rounds for healthcare and medicine, that's what we do. We put all the data up on Friday morning. We all get on the Zoom call, and we go over our patients' cases, and we design what is the best treatment plan for the patient. Now, traditional, let's go back. One dentist, one assistant, one hygienist.
Yeah.
How are they able to have the expertise of board-certified orthodontists, periodontists, prosthodontists, and the whole team?
Yeah.
You don't. So this is the future. And you don't even have to be there. You just have to get that data so that you can treatment plan together and look at these four domains. And this is what we call mouth mapping. They've developed this great patient-facing tool so people understand what that's all about. And that's exactly what we're going to do at Smile House with the concept of what we're calling hospitality, because it's Smile House, which is a very strong hospitality where the place is going to look like a boutique hotel. And, you know, the design people are going crazy. We have amazing architects. And this is what my wife, Stacy, does. She's very much into kind of design, along with everybody else. You know, everybody's frustrated designers in this family.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I actually want to touch a little bit on sleep because I think that's something, number one, I've seen been somewhat of a trend over in the past year, which is around mouth taping.
Yes.
And also, you know, breathing through your nose versus your mouth and also how all of that can and does affect your sleep. Can you touch on all of that and share some of the questions most people would typically have, which is, you know, whether mouth taping is good for you, how they can be more aware on how they're breathing while they're sleeping, how they can be more aware on, okay, if they are breathing with their mouth open, different ways that they can kind of get into the practice of breathing through their nose?
Yes. I would tell everybody, go read a book. James Nestor wrote a phenomenal book. He's a great author. It's now a couple of years old, called Breath. And he lays out the whole conversation. He himself stuffs his nose up with cotton in an experiment to show what happens to him if you're a mouth breather.
Oh, my.
And it's not good. It's like the time when, you know, you ate breakfast, lunch, and dinner at McDonald's, and what happened to your health? Mm. It's that bad. And what does happen is that the mouth is not designed for breathing. You see, the nose has all these nasal passages. It's a huge filter. Mm-hmm. And our body is designed to breathe through the nose. Mm-hmm. When you're forced to breathe through your mouth, you're not taking these important oxygenating breaths, and you can't get into deep sleep. Let me go back in growth and development for children. Mm-hmm. There's a guy out of London 25 years ago, and his son has picked up the mantle. John Muse, he had this concept. He had this concept that if a child breathes through the mouth, their growth and development is going to be altered, and they're going to be set up for life to have diseases. And everybody in the he was an orthodontist, and everybody in the orthodontic community thought he was crazy. Mm. Fast forward 25, 30 years. Sandra Kahn, Paul Ehrlich wrote a book called Jaws. They are the experts at this in the field today at Stanford. And it's called forwardontics, which is exactly what John Muse talked about. Mm. And basically what you want your children, and for the moms in the room, mm-hmm. if your kids have nasal obstructions or they get into rhinitis, you got to figure out how to get that fixed. Because what will happen is they start breathing through the mouth mm-hmm. and the development of the upper jaw and the lower jaw is constricted. The jaw becomes almost like a vault because the mouth is like a tunnel for air to come in. They're breathing through the mouth and the anatomy adapts to it. Mm. Huh. So now forwardontics, they're getting the nose open and now the maxilla grows to a normal proportion. And now you've gone from a studio bedroom of breath, narrow, to a big penthouse of opening. And guess what happens to sleep? The tongue comes forward because the tongue has to rest right behind your front teeth when you're sleeping. Mm-hmm. And now your airway is open. When your airway is open, you get into deep regenerative sleep, right? There's three levels of sleep. There's light sleep, REM sleep, and there's deep sleep. And there's a couple other divisions, but let's keep it simple.
Yeah.
Deep sleep is our regenerative sleep. Regenerative deep sleep happens when you really oxygenate the body, fight oxidative stresses, fight all kinds of cancers, and all kinds of hypertensive type issues. If you can't sleep, you got obstructive sleep apnea, or any of these sleep apnea issues, you're going to be hypertensive, you're going to have cardiovascular disease, you're going to be diabetic. That's just the way it is. Mm. You have to get into deep regenerative sleep. So it's so important for people to know that if you have deviated septums and you can't breathe through the nose, yes, put the mouth tape on and see if you can stand it. If you got mouth tape and you can't breathe through your nose, you're going to rip that mouth tape off.
Right.
Right. So it's just a good test. You get to a top ENT, you solve that problem, you got to get the nose to breathe. That's what it's designed for, not the mouth. And there's so many tools that we have today between the Whoop, the Apple Watch, and I'm a big fan of the Oura Ring. I put the Oura Ring on right before I go to bed. I don't like wearing it during the day. I would take my gloves off when I'm practicing dentistry and the Oura Ring would be across the room. So, you know, it's never that tight. So I wear it right before I go to bed and I look at, hey, how did I sleep? Mm-hmm. And in fact, my wife and I, the first things we do, if she's getting up, when I'm getting up, she goes, how was your number? You know, and we compare numbers, but it really forces you to have behavioral modification. So instead of watching that last Netflix show at 11:30, 12, go to sleep by 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then there's all these sleep hacks. And the sleep hacks are as important as the oral hygiene hacks. Mm. These are things that you can do to make sure you get good sleep, just like there are all these things you can do to have a healthy mouth. Mm-hmm. Right. If we want to go back to the oral hygiene and oral health, there's a whole regimen that you can do that doesn't take very long, about 4 or 5 minutes, mm-hmm. morning and night, that will set your mouth up for complete health.
Mm. Okay. Before I forget, can we actually touch on fluoride toothpaste?
Fluoride. Big topic. Thank you, Mr. Kennedy.
Yeah. Can you share? I mean, you can speak it from expertise and, of course, again, with your extensive knowledge and background on this. But that's something I've actually always been personally curious about, I think, in the past year, given how, you know, I guess normal it was to talk about fluoride or non-fluoride. And I would see a mixture of things on social media, as I'm sure you've heard and seen. So maybe help some listeners have better understanding around the differences.
I will. Let's unravel some myths here.
Yeah.
So Cochrane Reports will take scientific studies, wrap them all together, and give you kind of a nice way to review a lot of these type of studies. Mm-hmm. There are literally 1,000+ studies on fluoride. Mm-hmm. The studies are good, and they talk about fluoride a couple different ways. When you take fluoride when you're the teeth are developing, when you're young, the fluoride gets incorporated into the teeth, and it's like super armor. Mm-hmm. Becomes a fluorapatite molecule, resistant to decay, strong teeth. When fluoride was first introduced in the late 60s, and it was one of the greatest public health wins ever, it changed the decay rates close to 60%. What has happened? Let's fast forward 50, 60 years. What has happened is fluoride is in drinking water. Fluoride is in toothpaste. Mm-hmm. Fluoride is in fluoride treatments in the pediatric office. Mm-hmm. So the truth of the matter is that 60% impact doesn't have a 60% impact anymore because there's fluoride in many different places. Mm. Because it's in many different places, it's more like 12, 13% improvement with fluoride in the water. Mm. So Mr. Kennedy's conversation, do we need fluoride in the water in 2025? If you have access, here's my unravel the myth here. If you have access to care, mm-hmm. if you're able to go to a young, take your child to a pediatric dentist or a general dentist that they can get fluoride treatment. Mm-hmm. You got fluoride in your toothpaste. Mm-hmm. Do you need fluoride in your water? No, you don't need fluoride in the water. Because fluoride, like every other drug, fluorine, mm-hmm. is dose specific. Mm-hmm. You don't want too much, but you don't want too little.
Yeah.
The American Dental Association, from all the studies, we know exactly how much fluoride you want in your toothpaste, 6 parts per million. You're not swallowing it. It's safe. Except you got fluoride coming from all these sources. Mm-hmm. The group that is in trouble are the people with no access to care. And this is why I have my foundation. This is why we're trying to really help figure this stuff out.
Yeah.
When you don't have access to care, you can't afford going to the pediatric dentist. Mm-hmm. You might not even know that you're supposed to be really brushing your teeth. In Eleuthera, which was a microcosm of oral disease and overall systemic inflammatory disease, they didn't know what a toothbrush was. Mm. So that kind of access to care, that's an issue. But they're drinking water. So you got to really look at areas. And when you think about fluoride and the decision, if you're in Tennessee and you're in Appalachia and, you know, you're looking at these areas that don't have access to care, that might be the areas you want the fluoride in water. Mm. But if you're in New York City or you're in Los Angeles and Dallas and Chicago and these major cities and you have mm-hmm. access to care, I would say that we can start thinking about taking fluoride out of the water. And I think it's a fair argument. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't diminish the fact that fluoride with the right dose, not too much, not mm-hmm. too little, will have a huge positive impact on hardening our teeth and also making the teeth more resistant. It's almost like Teflon on the coating mm-hmm. that plaque doesn't attach as well.
Yeah.
And it also helps with sensitivity.
Yeah.
So toothpaste that has fluoride in it, uh-huh. that also has something called 5% potassium nitrate, uh-huh. which I must say my son's toothpaste has, and so does Sensodyne F.
Yeah.
Those are very good toothpaste because mm-hmm. they protect the root surfaces. When older people have recession, root surfaces decay quickly. As we get older, saliva decreases. Saliva is a buffering agent. If the mouth gets acidic because you have too much acidic food, which is the protein foods versus alkalinizing foods, which is more of the vegetables and everything colorful, and the American diet, you know, as you'd imagine, is too much acidifying, you really want to buffer that pH in your mouth. One of the greatest metric, like a KPI in business, a key performance indicator of the mouth of health, is your pH, just like salivary diagnostic.
Okay.
So in our offices, what we do is we pH test. You want your pH to be neutral, right at 7.0. Mm. If it's 5.4 or 5.0, you probably have some level of maybe gastric reflux and or too much protein, too much sugary drinks, acidic drinks, and you're lowering that pH. And your saliva is working overtime trying to regulate it back to neutral, right? So it's very important that you get that neutrality for health of the mouth, and that, of course, goes for the rest of the body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would you say for those who are also anti-fluoride in toothpaste? I know that's also another somewhat trending, you know, thing on social media sometimes where those are saying, you know, fluoride should, you know, fluoride is in water and it shouldn't be in water or anything that we're consuming.
Yeah. Take to heart what I just said.
Yeah.
If you're getting fluoride from other sources,
yeah,
I think you're good.
Yeah.
It's not about being anti-fluoride. Remember, it's more about that dosage. We call dose specificity.
Right.
So if you have fluoride in the water, you're filtering it out. You're taking it out. You have a young child and the dentist wants to give them a fluoride treatment and they're not using fluoride in their toothpaste. Good idea on the fluoride treatment, unless you want your kid to have cavities.
Yeah.
If you're, and even if you're strict, no candy, no chocolate. I don't know. I haven't met the kid who doesn't like candy and chocolate. So, you know, home care and getting the plaque off your teeth, neutralizing the pH of your mouth. Mm-hmm. And we got to remember, it's not just one thing. It's not just your oral care habits. And there's a whole order of how we can mechanically disrupt the plaque, get our mouth healthy, neutralize the plaque. And neutralize the pH. But there's also what we put in our mouth. Mm-hmm. I can't underscore that enough, that our nutrition is so critical to our mouth health and our overall health.
Yeah.
So, you know, too much sugar, these sugary drinks, these ultra-processed foods, high fructose corn syrup, all of these things, these are killers. Out, out, out. Get rid of it. Don't bring it in the house.
Yeah.
Celery sticks, hummus, you know, alkalinizing foods, vegetables. Mom was right. Vegetables, celery, carrots, those are great fibrous vegetables that actually absorb, you know, all of the things that we end up putting in our mouths and we shouldn't be putting in our mouths, you know. Mm-hmm. You talk about natural fruits. Natural fruits have cellulose in it. That absorbs the natural sugars. That's okay. Mm-hmm. You look on a package, you look at the ingredients.
Yeah.
Do you know how many sugars there are? They're all, it's all from the food industry. I hate to beat up the food industry, but these guys, you got to be kidding me. Guys and gals, whoever's running these companies for 35, 40 years.
Yeah.
They got every name. Cane sugar. All these ridiculous names. Mm. It's poison. Yeah. Absolute poison in our body.
Yeah.
But know that, you know, fruits, it's safe.
Yeah.
Because they're natural sugars.
Right.
And we need that because that's carbohydrates. That's where we get our energy from. 32 ATP units from one molecule of glucose. That's what gives us our energy. But these type of sugars that are additive, added sugars, you're looking on the ingredients list, not for your kids and not for us.
Yeah. What are some basics, both the way one takes care of their teeth and their mouth and also how they can eat better? What are some basics you would recommend for someone to start with if they're listening to this and they're like, okay, I do want to be more mindful and more careful about my approach and understanding even my sleep and how this affects my sleep and just my long-term health? What are some basics you would give someone to start with?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're putting a lot of these materials together for our Smile House, of course, because now I got a whole branding team, you know, you know, Cody and Christine and the team. But, you know, this is why I wrote this book and to raise awareness. I wrote a book also about 20 years ago. Mariska Hargitay is on the cover, who's my pal. And it's all about the important things you have to know. The mouth is this ecosystem. So remember, it's that balancing act of good versus bad bacteria. If you have acid in your mouth, you're going to demineralize teeth. You're going to cause decay because there's this bacteria, strep mutans, that works on the sugar, the sugary substance like sucrose, and breaks it down into acid. That acid demineralizes, right? So if you see, if we see patients who are maybe bulimic and, and you have the stomach acid, which is like hydrochloric acid, pH of 2.2, that is destroys teeth immediately. You know, so it's a terrible thing. So you got to think about acid and you got to think about low pH also creates an environment for the bad bacteria, the gram-negative anaerobes, the bugs that cause inflammation to really outgrow the good bacteria.
Yeah.
So when we think about these are the causes, how do we solve for it? So the number one way to solve for it, and let's just say that nutritionally we're eating healthy. We kind of know the rules of the road.
Yeah.
So from a standpoint of morning and night, twice a day, we're using tools and technique. And that's why you want to be in a good dental office with great hygienists. The hygienists, I always say, they're the rock stars of the dental offices because they're great communicators. They're passionate about what they do. And they're showing the children to learn these great habits of how to brush properly.
Yeah.
The electric toothbrush is amazing because it's five times more effective than a manual brush from the Cochrane Reports, all the different studies on
this.
You want to disrupt, you know, all of the plaque off of the teeth. And you want to disrupt it because over a 24 to 48 hour period, plaque turns into a foreign invader. What does that mean? When the gums get red, they think like a splinter under your skin, that plaque that's in your mouth, that's part of your biofilm that surrounds the teeth, that's in our saliva, the body thinks it's a foreign invader and you get inflammation from it. Okay, 70% of Americans, by the way, has some form of inflammation in the mouth, gingivitis. Wow. 70% of Americans over the age of 65, 70 have periodontal disease. So that's the chronic inflammatory disease.
Mm.
When you think about why we have so much obesity, why we have so much diabetes, why we have all these diseases, and why we have periodontal disease, they work closely together to destroy our bodies.
Wow.
So we can take action.
Yeah.
Let's start with the mouth, because the mouth is, we call it the tip of the spear for overall health. Because you go to the dentist more than you go to your primary care physician, don't you? So let's start there. Electric toothbrush, water flossers,
tongue scraper,
and a great alkalinizing rinse. And we say start with an alkalinizing rinse because instead of fluoride, which I didn't talk about, there's these new ingredients that are showing amazing results to get new remineralization of the teeth, because that's what you want in a low pH. Low pH destroys the mineral. Now you want to remineralize. It's called nanohydroxyapatite. So look for HA, hydroxyapatite, and nanohydroxyapatite. If you don't want to put fluoride in, at least have the toothpaste with nano HA. If you alkalinize the mouth, that nano HA is absorbed better because you're not in an acidic environment.
Mm.
So we want to rinse first, electric brush, water flosser, to a tongue scraper, and then I like to say, and using an alkalinizing rinse.
Wow.
And no alcohol in those rinses. I don't know if you're watching it, but alcohol and rinse will raise your blood pressure, just like they're talking about if you've seen the latest TikTok videos on this. And it has nothing to do with rinsing. You can be rinsing with water. It ain't going to raise your blood pressure.
Uh-huh.
But if you're rinsing with alcohol, what happens is that it dries out the mouth, and there is a blood pressure effect. You can get hypertensive. So oral health habits, just like any high performance habits.
Yeah.
We talk about high performance habits, you know, we talk about meditation, journaling, and breath work, and then working out. It's the same thing.
Mm.
Get that electric brush. Yeah. I tell everybody who's ever had any dental work in their mouth and, you know, your gums are somewhat inflamed. Water flosses, the new ones are fantastic.
Yeah.
Remember the number 60 PSI. That means it's shooting that water in really strong. And then the tongue is just like between the teeth. Periodontal disease works between the teeth because a toothbrush doesn't get between the teeth.
Mm.
So I'm giving you the basics. That's why flossing is so critical.
Yeah.
So I like water flossing, and I also like flossing. A lot of people don't really, can't get the flossing down.
Mm.
Now there's these floss picks. Everybody loves them.
Yeah.
So you use a floss pick around your mouth.
Uh-huh.
But you spend the 5 minutes, and you know what you got to do? You got to put some music on. When I used to go on Dr. Oz's show with Mehmet, we would say, hey, hop on one leg.
Yeah.
Because you look at plaque. We used to do on Dr. Oz's show, you put your hand in this gooey substance, you look at it, and it sticks to your hands. We would have all these visuals for people.
Mm.
That's what plaque is like. This biofilm forms around the teeth. You know, you wake up in the morning, it's this polysaccharide, this sugary substance that's on your teeth. You can't wait to brush your teeth.
Yeah.
But do the regimen. You're supposed to brush for 2 minutes, right?
Uh-huh.
Do you know how long the average American brushes for?
No.
38 seconds.
Oh, no.
So you gotta you gotta figure something out. Listen to a podcast. Listen to your podcast. It'd be a great idea. And we'll listen to some music.
Yeah.
You know, I actually do a yoga stretch while I'm using my electric brush. You know,
no way.
Yeah, I have a yoga stretch that, you know, it kind of stretches that. Because I'm a cyclist and my hips get tight.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can figure things out. But you figure, spend that 4 or 5 minutes. 2 minutes brushing, 30 seconds a quadrant. A water flosser takes 30, 40 seconds quick.
Uh-huh.
Tongue scraper, a little floss pick, and a rinse before and a rinse after, and you are good to go.
Yeah.
You feel great. Your mouth feels refreshed. The boys have a fantastic alkalinizing rinse that doesn't have alcohol in it. The key is no alcohol in your rinses.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about tongue scraping?
Tongue scraping, where I was going, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
so tongue
scraping,
in the tongue, you have all these recesses.
Yeah.
What grows there? Remember, gram-negative anaerobes. That means you got bacteria that grow, that lives with oxygen, aerobic, you know, like aerobic exercise.
Yeah.
Anaerobic, you go an anaerobic threshold, you're working out too much, you don't have oxygen. They live without oxygen, meaning they live under the gum or they live in the recesses of the tongue.
Mm.
Guess what those gram-negative anaerobes do? Yeah. VSCs, volatile sulfur compounds, bad breath. And it's important for people to know, because if you don't floss, those VSCs happen between the teeth and on the tongue. So if you're flossing, you got a tongue scrape also, because you got to get that biofilm and those bacteria that are living right down into the papillae, right in those little, if you look at your tongue, and it's important to look at your tongue. You know, it's like, examining your mouth and looking in the mouth is really important. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a light now that you shine in the light and you play a little bit detective yourself, but there's many things, you know, Eastern medicine is all based on tongue philosophy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But tongue scraping is terrific. Then you take that biofilm and then you rinse after that. It's great.
Okay. Yeah. Is that something you do after you brush your teeth?
Brush,
before?
Water floss.
Okay.
I'm sorry for all these things.
Yeah.
Then I'll hit a water pick, floss picks.
Uh-huh.
So what did I say? Brush, water flosser. Oh, excuse me. Tongue scraper. Then go into the floss picks. Mm. And then I like a rinse before and after.
Okay.
And that I've timed myself and it's about four and a half minutes.
Okay. Where can people, what kind of tongue scraper do you recommend? Do you have anything that you, you recommend for those?
You're going to have to talk to Cody Levine. But there's a number of them that are on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
You try out different ones. We're making our own because we want to put everything together in a kit for
people. Yeah.
Here's the electric brush that we love. Here's the water flosser. Here's the floss picks. You know, so, you know, the boys have their Twice brand. They have about 5-6 of those products. But we're going to put everything together. Because it's nice to know also that's a great question of the order of events.
Yeah, yeah. Because I wouldn't know. And I'm very interested in adding tongue scraping to my regimen.
Exactly. No, you add tongue scraping.
Yeah.
The water flossers are amazing also.
Yeah.
Because they really do a great job getting between the teeth. For the people who can't get the energy to floss.
Okay.
So you'll be about 80% of the way there.
Okay.
You pick up the floss or use the floss picks, you'll get everything else.
Yeah.
Then the nice thing about the rinsing is it alkalinizes the mouth right away for great uptake. Remember of that nanohydroxyapatite or these new phosphates that are in these toothpaste. And after is great because you just do a quick rinse and it just sets you for the day. It alkalinizes the mouth.
Okay. Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Those are great steps and
a lot of tips, right?
Yeah, but great place for, again, people to kind of simplify their decisions is kind of how I look at it, and to find different ways to improve different parts of life, because I find that all of these decisions add up and they compound over time, you know, especially for health. So I put health first. So
it's really true. You know, it's like, gratitude is one of the things to bring the joy, right? When you start your mornings, and Brandon Bouchard's big on this. I'm a big fan of him, High Performance Habits. But I work with a guy named John Roussat who comes on our foundations, and he's an amazing CEO coach. He's written a tremendous book, John Roussat. And, it's what are you grateful for?
Mm.
What brings the gratitude? And you got to say, well, here are the things that I'm grateful for. And health. Our help, it's got to be at the top of the list, because who can we help if we don't have our own health, right?
Yeah.
And it's really so true, and people really have to take their time. You know the old expression, we only got one body, and we don't get second chances. So, we have to all spend the time on that.
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. I love that. A lot of wisdom. Thank you. Final few questions. We're going to do probably two from the What Fulfills You card game. It is a personal growth card game that I created 3 years ago.
Whoa.
And we have one for you as well. And it's just a lot of different questions that are a lot of very introspective, self-reflective. They're often used, today a lot of people like to use it for like Thanksgiving or community dinners or just kind of, maybe a date night with your partner, things like that. But a lot of people also use it for journaling and just kind of getting to know oneself. But this one I pulled is, love a choice or feeling?
I have to defer to my foundation partner, because that Kravitz, he's all about that. He's all about love. And the person I married, that's what she's all about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think love has to be a priority. Mm-hmm. It's what brings it. It's what brings the joy. It's what makes life so great.
Mm-hmm.
It's about bringing that love to everybody around you. You know, when we did the acronym for JBL, Let Love Rule, Love means many things, depending who you're dealing with. We can talk about love in the context of respect and building trust and having aligned value system, and respect and resilience and all these great things. But I think it has to be a choice and a priority. Mm-hmm. And it has, we have to dedicate ourselves to it. It's really what's going to bring the joy for all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Second question and last one from the card game. How do you measure success?
Personally, I'm different from some of my friends maybe, mm-hmm. but I don't measure it by dollars and cents. I really measure it by the feeling I have in my life of what, less about what's accomplished, but more about how I feel, what makes me feel really, really good. And what makes me really feel good is spending time with my family, my dear friends, mm-hmm. And making a difference, you know, impacting people, having a positive impact. So that's how I measure my success. Mm-hmm. And it's been such a journey for me because, you know, we were talking earlier, but as you go and emerge from the go-go years, mm-hmm. from the 30s and the 40s, and you're moving into a new career, the notion of, you know, you get into your 60s and you're retiring is like the most foreign thing that I can ever think of. You do new things. You challenge yourself with new things, but you have to take the learnings of the past and play it forward. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with that in mind, you know, it's always just challenging yourself and surrounding yourself with people you love because, you know, anything you do in life, you surround yourself with the people you love and you get like a big vision out there. Like I have mm-hmm. a big vision now with my family. Mm-hmm. I'm the luckiest guy in the room. Because I know with the love and the big vision, that's when the magic happens.
Yeah.
And that's when you feel so good. Even when, you know, you get a little headwind and, you know, there's always challenges. But you're up for the challenges. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, by the time you're in your 60s and you've lived life, you know that's what life's all about. It is all about the headwinds and how we're going to deal with it.
Yeah.
And so you need a combination. You need the young people to bring the energy. Mm-hmm. You need the older folks for the wisdom. And together, you got good stuff.
Yeah. One last question, and it's something I ask every guest on the show, but in reflecting on everything, your family, your career, everything that you've done to impact your community, what would you say ultimately fulfills you in life?
Yeah. It hit me. What do we say? A kiss at the end of a wet fist. It used to be an old line, but mm-hmm. it hit me hard when I go to the foundation, which we're going for this first foundation mission this year, this Friday. Mm-hmm. And I sit in this room. It's a large room that the church gave us. We have 14 chairs. Mm-hmm. And I got my family, my colleagues, my friends who are doing registration. Robin Errico is in the front. Julie Terrison, my old executive assistant, and people I love, and everybody is helping each other and helping these people. These people don't have access to care.
Yeah.
They walk in pain, and they're afraid to smile. They can't go to their daughter's wedding. Mm. And now there's an eruption of laughter and hugs every like 20 minutes. We're 3D printing prosthesis that used to take a day to make.
Yeah.
And I'm so proud of my profession and my people together. And I have my family there. Mm-hmm. This brings the joy.
Yeah.
The most. And it's interesting because Henry Schein started taking videos of all the different docs. And there must have been 15 of them they interviewed. And I watched them. And to each person, it was like Simon Sinek was standing in the room. Mm-hmm. Know your why. Mm-hmm. Every person, I know why I do what I do.
Yeah.
And it's a great feeling. It's a great feeling. And we really say doing good leads to doing well. It really is so true. When you help people, mm-hmm. when it ain't about just you, but it's about everybody else, it all comes back to you anyway. Mm-hmm. It comes back to you. But for me, these are my happiest moments.
Oh.
And I'm looking forward to Friday.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. Thank you, Dr. Levine, for sharing all of your wisdom, all of your insights, and just the core message of why you do what you do. And I know my listeners will certainly enjoy this, and I know they're going to have a lot of takeaways as I did. So thank you. I appreciate this. Where can everyone find you and learn more about Smile House and JBL and everything on social media that you would like for them to check out?
Yeah, sure. We're smilehouse.co.co okay. is our website that they're building, but we have a landing page. I am at Dr. John, J-O-N Levine is my Instagram. I have my jblnyc.com practice website, and I have drjonathanlevine.com is my personal website where we have all the things that we do. And yeah.
And your books are
my
available?
Book, I have a book called Smile. I have a book, the Smile Design book, but that's for dentists. That's a little boring for the folks. But we have coming out at the same time that we're doing the big launch at Smile House in May. Jay Boylston is our publisher, and it is going to be a good one. Oral and the integration of, you know, of the mouth and the body, and just kind of doing some final tweaks on it. So hopefully people will like that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Emily.
And that was all for today's episode with Dr. Levine. As always, I hope you enjoyed this episode and had some major takeaways. If you did, please be sure to share this on your Instagram story. And if you do, tag the podcast Instagram at What Fulfills You and my personal one at Emily E. Duong so we can reshare with everyone else. And also, if you are in New York City, Dr. Levine is offering one complimentary whitening treatment when you book a mouth mapping appointment at Smile House or JBL. Make sure you mention What Fulfills You when you are booking. And as always, you can find Dr. Levine and everything else linked in the show notes. Thanks again for tuning in today. I will chat with you all in the next one.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.